big sigh on the out-breath.
A nice deep breath in through the nose.
And a nice deep sigh on the out-breath.
And one more just deep breath in through the nose. And as you breathe out, just really letting the shoulders relax into your body. Relax into your seating position. Allow yourself to be in this present moment together. So welcome. And so for those of you that haven't joined me before in these explorations, it's one of these things that I wanted to do because I work with so many people around sexuality, and there's so many beautiful things that I've learned through the journey of working with so many women and so many couples and teenagers about what are our challenges, what are the restrictions, what are the things that we have to meet around our sexuality. And I wanted to give some opportunity for people to ask me questions and tap into some of that wisdom. It's not just mine, it's not just my wisdom, it's the wisdom of the many people that I've listened to, spoke to, explored with, been a detective with, found, you know, and what are the general themes that women experience around their sexuality. And again, it doesn't mean I know all the answers, but in my journey, I've obviously gathered a wealth of wisdom from the women I work with of what they've been doing with themselves, and also what I've suggested and what's worked and what hasn't worked, and all of those beautiful things around sexuality. So we are here as a group of women, all in that opening of reclaiming our permission to be sexual and sensual and free and explorative, and that our pleasure matters, and that our pleasure can take us to exalted heights of connection inside ourselves. It's absolutely one of my passions, is using and working with falling into our sexual energy as a gateway, as a doorway, as a expansion of our question, who am I and what is this life all about? And so this is my passion around sexual energy as the root of our experience in this human body. And so my invitation to you is to write in the chat any particular questions you might have. I've got a couple that people have sent me. And so how this works well is that if you have something you'd like to ask, write it in the chat. And what I'm going to do is do my best at reading through and answering as many questions that I can answer in the next 45 minutes. Just so you know, I am recording, but I'm actually only recording it as an audio. So there's no capture of you, of who you are. When I answer your questions, I won't be mentioning your name. So it's also anonymous, so that the recording that goes out has that confidentiality of this group together. So has anybody got a question, burning question? Just going to see if my chat's working. And if not, I can start with a couple of questions. Let me start with a couple of questions that I've had written to me. So one that I'll start with is somebody's asked a question that they struggle with persistent issues around their menstrual cycle, around things like thrush and UTIs, and that they found that when they've been in previous relationships and that they've been unhappy in those relationships and unhappy sexually, that those problems have worsened. And she's asking if there's any to talk a little bit about the relationship between sex and health, our healthy menstruation, and our gynecological health. And when I saw that question, what I witnessed actually, and what I, when I reflected on this question, something that I have witnessed when I've worked with women is the correlation between the increase, the flare up of issues such as thrush, such as menstrual cramps, such as urine infections, coming up and becoming heightened when they're in a when there's something going on in their relationship that is discordant, or something where they're not saying their truth, where they're not expressing something that's a no. They're saying yes when it's actually a no. And we're not just talking sexually, we're talking emotionally. I've really noticed that correlation in the women that I've spoken to who've come to me with various gynecological issues, cysts, fibroids, all sorts of things. There is a correlation to that emotional that emotional part inside of us where maybe we don't want to look. Maybe we don't want to know the answer. Maybe we don't want to turn and face the fact that our body is saying no to something. Because what that means is our body and our system is saying no, means we need to look at why it's saying no. And then it means that we have to actually say to our partner what's not working. And then that challenges those places in us that are possibly worried about how are they going to respond to me? Are they still going to love me? Am I going to be acceptable if I tell them that this isn't okay for me? And all those fears around our self-expression and what being met feels like and looks like. And so actually it's a really deep process of information that the body's giving us. That's not to say that we shouldn't be doing all the amazing things that we need to do when we have something like thrush or cramp. You know, there's obviously lots we can do through acupuncture, diet, herbalism. That's not to say we shouldn't look after the physicality on the physical body, but also we need to look at what are the emotions here. Because the emotional body creates a resonance in the physical body, and the physical body creates a symptom from the emotional buildup, from the energetic content. And so the invitation here is to, if anybody's experiencing these kind of things, is what is this piece of information trying to tell me? One of the things that I've witnessed around something like endometriosis is where the cells from the womb lining migrate out of the inside the womb, and they migrate out of the physical structure of the womb into the surrounding organs, into the surrounding tissues. What I've witnessed in the women that I've worked with, there at some point there's been a rejection of their sexual self. There's been a rejection of their feminine self, of their womanhood. There's somewhere in their sexual journey, there's either it's been through some trauma, some abuse, or some suggested idea, some shame, some action, something deep in there And it may have come from very young, some sense that this isn't safe. And so therefore the cells almost mimic that response and they move themselves out of what's seemingly unsafe. It's a bit like when refugees move out from their homeland because there's some danger there, there's some unsafety. You know, we're a sort of mirror image. Our bodies can be a mirror image of some of the things that are going on in the world. There are the sense of unsafety. And so what we need to bring is a deep connection of listening. What is this information telling us? What is this physical response in our body telling us? And even if we don't know with our mind, just taking the time to listen and feel and drop in will eventually reveal some knowledge, some wisdom about what it's actually trying to say to you. So I hope that has some help for someone that's maybe, some of you that may be experiencing something like that. And again, it's not just about our menstrual cycles or our pelvis, or, you know, this is about any symptom in our body. It's always worth turning and looking. I mean, it's definitely been a journey in my hair loss in this past year, having a really deep conversation with, what am I missing here? What is it trying to tell me? What am I not meeting? What is the dialogue? What does it want to say? What is the information? And it's been very, very interesting in what it has to say. Uncomfortable at times. So I've got another question here. So someone saying, I have an experience that I feel rejected by my partner if my partner doesn't want to be sexual with me, and often cry quietly to myself when I do. Yet if he wants to and I don't, I am happy to say yes, even though I may feel like saying no, because I don't want to reject him. So saying, I'm not sure what my question is, but I'm feeling into it, it's okay. But I'd like to heal this in our relationship and have just started being able to communicate better with him as we are apart at the moment. Okay, so let me just feel into this. It sounds to me what's sort of going on here. And again, if there's anything else you want to write about this, and I may not have got the exact thread, but let's just see what comes out. It feels to me that what the theme is here is the relationship to rejection. You know, when we have a challenge or a fear of a certain emotion or a certain quality of resonance, what we do is we want to avoid that for the people we love also. It's a bit like, you know, when you see someone being very awkward and they're doing something really awkwardly, you almost want to go and help them and sort of make it unawkward. And, you know, if you see someone sort of going up on stage and singing for the first time or something awkward and you sort of feel it in your body and you kind of want to make it all right, that's our relationship with awkward, because we're trying to make it all right for someone else. And so it sounds like there's something around rejection. And so our own relationship with how we feel about being in the feeling of rejection means that we then don't want somebody else to feel that. And so therefore we may override our own natural boundaries by giving to somebody else what we think they need so that they don't have to feel that feeling. I mean, again, some of these questions are really big and more in depth than I can really answer here. But what I invite you to look at is, do you ever sit and face the quality of rejection and have a conversation with her and acknowledge all the times that she has been rejected and felt rejected. And just acknowledge, how does that part of you feel? And what does she want to say? Because often we think we're being rejected, but actually most people are wrapped up in their own unfolding and their own self-discovery and working out what they want and what they don't want. That it's not really that they're rejecting us, they're just trying to work out what it is they want, what it is they don't want. We make a lot of things like rejection very personal, but a lot of the time they're not as personal as we think. They're a little bit more complex. But what the sense of rejection needs is for us to not reject it, to come into relationship with the part of us that has experienced the feeling of rejection. Because again, when we go into that place where my partner doesn't feel like having sex with me right now, it's not as personal as we think. Again, I don't know the whole history or story, but it's like, it may just be in this moment, that's not what they need. That's not what they want. That's not the kind of touch they desire. And so then it's an inquiry of what is it that they need? What is it that they want? And of course, I can't talk to the history or the story of this because it may have a whole other history to this that I'm not really attached to in this moment. But the first thing to do is come into relationship with our sense of rejection. Again, there's so much more I could say about that if I knew more about it, but I might come back to it. Got a feeling. So someone she's responding, that makes useful. I think it's because sex equates to validation somehow. It's so true. And for all, you know, men and women, we do get the sense of validation. You know, am I a good lover? Can I make my woman orgasm? Can I make her ejaculate? Can I make my man come? Can I pleasure him for hours? Can I, you know, or am I sexy? Am I desired? Am I wanted? You know, all of this comes into play around the sexual arena. And one of the things that I am a real advocate for is when someone can't meet something, and it's recognizing when there's a quality inside your body reaching out for validation. It's like a kind of yearning, like a want, like, oh, or an urgency. I want them to want me. I want them to tell me I'm beautiful. I want them to love me. You'll know it. I'm sure as I speak it, you'll know what your validation feels like. I can see some people laughing. And it's like when you start, that's part of having that relationship in your body. And once you know it's there, you have to be honest with yourself. Doesn't matter whether you're honest with everybody else about what's going on for you, but the most important thing is be honest with yourself. I'm seeking validation. I remember when I really got this with my partner, and I'd say to him, look, I'd actually say, I just totally need you to validate me right now and just tell me you love me. Just tell me I'm amazing. I just, for some reason, I just feel like I need you to tell me. And he's like, yeah, but are you just making me tell you? And I'm like, just do it. And he would do it. And some part of me would just go, okay. I know that it was just this little futile attempt to that part, but I was wanting to bring it out into honest openness into the relationship, that's what I was doing. And by doing that a few times, I started to find that I could actually more fully meet that part of myself, because I gave it honesty. I took away the shame of it. I exposed it in a healthy way to my partner that I have a place that wants to be validated by him. And I've found that in that, sitting with that resonance in your body and finding the place inside yourself, that even if in the honesty we go, maybe I find this bit about myself a bit challenging, but I'm still here with you and I still care. You don't have to lie to yourself about something. You can be honest with yourself. And if there's something about the way you are that you're not so keen on, you can be honest and say, oh, I'm not so keen about this needy me. I really need this right now. But I'm here with you. I'm not disconnecting from myself, even though that's here, being in relationship. So that's really great. Thank you for sharing that bit. I'm going to read this one. I'm not sure if it's a question, but let's read this. What you said about not living your truth really resonated with me. When this problem has been at its worst, I have bled for over 40 days at a time. I am now doing a lot of work on myself to try and resolve this issue. Yeah, the body has, you know, I've worked a lot with women who have bled with a lot of longevity. And what I've witnessed around their journey is, again, the body is trying to say something. And not always, but there's always a thread and a weave of grief around when we bleed a lot as women. And so accessing, listening to the body, listening to the sense of, is there something that I need to meet that has a quality of grief? And I don't mean by running the story over and over in our heads, you know, and just getting involved in, oh, this person did this to me and this happened and oh, this horrible thing's happened. It's just allowing the body to feel the capacity to grieve when it needs to grieve is very powerful and very needed. Okay, so somebody's writing that I spoke on my page about listening to your yoni, and I found this opened up a whole new area for me. It'd be beautiful to hear more about this. So I guess I need to start with, what do I mean by listening to our yoni? And so for those of you that may or may not have heard the word yoni before, yoni is the Sanskrit name for the vagina, and it means, roughly translated, pleasure garden. It means the pleasure garden. And I prefer this name because it has a softness to it. I think it's very inviting and there's a sacredness to this name. And so what I mean by listening to our yoni, part of it is the beginning. The beginning part of this is accessing the physical sensation of our yoni, of our canal, the vaginal canal, the cervix, the area of the womb, the area of the ovaries. So the first thing is about listening to the actual sensation that you feel in your body. And this listening brings us into the present time focus of here and now. And as many modalities and many teachings in the world express, as the present moment holds everything we need to know about everything, if we listen deeply enough, and if we're here enough in the present moment. And what the blessing of our body does, our body can only be in this moment. Our body's not in the past, our body's not in the future. Our mind can travel in the future, travel in the past. Our emotions can travel into the future, into the past. But the one thing that can't do that is the physical body is here in this moment of time. And so what we do by listening to the physical sensation of the yoni and the pelvis is open a first gateway of consciousness and attention. And so within that, we start to drop our mental awareness, our emotional awareness, our felt sense awareness. It's like we gather everything we are into this space. And in my experience and my own journey and my journey with the pelvis, women's predominantly, is that within this space is the instinct, the depth. It's almost, well, it is, it's a space. It has an infinite accessibility to information about you, not just your ancestral, your blood and bones memory that's carried in this body, the memory of your ancestry. It also carries the information of the different energetic bodies of your system. It also carries the central culmination, the in-breath and the out-breath of all of the information that makes you in this moment. And there's something about falling in through the physical sensation and allowing ourselves to keep falling. And what we then often meet is whatever emotion we need to meet. What is the story of your pelvis? What is the story of your sexuality? Is there some experience through giving birth to a child? Is there some experience of not giving birth? Is there experiences of sexuality and sexual experience that was a yes, that was a no, or lack of? Once we go in through that physical doorway, we start to feel the emotional doorway. And often these are the things we often want to avoid. But actually, the invitation is to stay in relationship, feel the grief, feel the different things, feel the pleasure, feel the laughter, feel whatever it wants to share. You have to start with listening. And then what happens as we move through those emotional responses, holdings, memories, we start to fall below the story, underneath the story of what has built that emotion in the body. And then your body has the capability and capacity to show us something deeper, to connect us to something deeper. And that's the joy of the exploration. It's not for me to say what that is. We all have different labels for that. But there's a gateway specifically around the yoni. You know, we often talk about the heart, you know, we often talk about the mind, and they all have their particular flavors, and there's a particular flavor of information that comes through when we drop into the root of the body. So I guess that's what I mean when I say listen to the yoni. I have this funny relationship with words because I'm a feely person, and it takes time for feeling to rise up and come into a word that kind of, and sometimes when I say words, I'm like, oh, I don't know, is that the right word? They feel so clumsy sometimes. So, you know, bear with me in the play of words. If I could just feeling transmit. Actually, when I was a child, I didn't really talk very much. And I was convinced that if I just felt strongly enough, everybody would just get what I was feeling and get what I was talking about. There's still that little child in me going, oh, it'd be so much easier if I just go, and everybody could just feel what I'm feeling. And then it'd be so, but I've had to learn how to articulate and how to speak and be heard and seen, which I'm sure many of you resonate in, those of us that have hidden away. So here's another question. I am interested to know what you think long periods of bleeding in my 15-year-old daughter. Could that be connected to grief in some way? Also, there are lots of cramps. I wonder how I can help her. So obviously I would always, always highly recommend checking the body physically. You know, that's always, I always think there's something grounded that we can do. It's always like, go to a doctor, get a diagnosis, go to an acupuncturist, go to a herbalist, depending, you know, go to physio, depending on what's going on in the body. And so always cover that physicality, always get scans if you feel like there needs to be a scan, because all of these have their place, all of these have their physical, it's always good to know what's physically going on. Do you know what I would say with this? Would be about asking, I don't know your relationship with your daughter, whether it's open or healthy, you know, that there's a healthy communication, but I wonder if there's a way that you can find an articulation to ask her, is there anything that she's scared about, or is there anything that she's feels that she's letting go of? Because one of the things, I mean, that might not be the right question, but as we all know, as we've all been teenagers, there's a process, whether they're aware of it or not, that they are grieving their childhood. They're grieving the capacity to still be a child. And for some teenagers, it's quite a bit, it's all of us, a very big initiation stepping into womanhood. And when we first start to bleed, whether we would articulate it in our mind or not, we're aware that some part of our child has changed. And there may be some grief in there around that change from child to the beginning stages of woman. So there could be something along the lines of an open conversation. Even if it's just asking her about her child, when she was young and a child, like, what does she love about being 5? What does she love about being 9? What does she love about being 10, 12? There may be something in what she's letting go of that just needs to be acknowledged, that just needs to be seen by you and her. I don't know if that's the answer, but it could very well be some grief of that. And the cramps are often because we're not quite surrendering, we're not quite letting go as a feeling and as emotion. And so there's there's some exploration there of how does she feel about becoming a woman or the beginning stages of a woman, because we know it takes a lifetime to become a woman. There's cycles of woman. Just as I asked my mum, I think my mum was, I know, she must have been 60, and I said to her, "So when did you start feeling like a grown-up?" And she sat and went, "Oh, I don't know. I don't know if I ever did. I don't know if I ever do." And so we went into that, and she said, "Well, I do grown-up things, like drive a car and go to work, and but I still feel like I'm 18, you know. So what does this all mean? And what does growing up mean? And what does a woman mean? You know, the stages of woman." I hope that helps. Oh, that's a nice message. So someone else just saying that they've had a conversation with a mum, and she's 75, and she says she still feels like 45 inside. And obviously there's parts, you know, there's what I also find around our sexuality is there's parts of us that, you know, as we grow into woman and we're doing the actions, and we're doing the actions of sex, you know, we can put all the bits in the right bits and all the different bits, and we know where all the holes are and all that, you know, and we can do all that play. But there's something inside us that feels really sort of maybe a little bit immature, a little bit young, you know. It's still left maybe in our teenage years, that kind of the teenage us that sort of still fumbling around in the dark. It's not quite sure what that's all about, you know. And that's because when something happens to us, and we're not talking about big traumas necessarily, we're talking about those little simple traumas that, or comments that people say, or a giggle in the wrong place when we're fumbling around with our first boyfriend or first girlfriend, and they giggle and you're like, "Oh my God, did I do something wrong?" You know, and that sticks with us. It can be those little frozen moments in time where we're left with the question, "Am I doing the right thing? I don't know what I'm doing. Do they like this? Do I like this? Why am I even doing this?" So there are little bits in our sexual psyche that are still looping, like in a little frozen bubble, that still haven't quite had that question answered, haven't quite felt safe enough to reveal themselves, or they still feel a little bit ashamed about their response to that. And so what we need to do is recognize when we have a little bit of that pattern happening inside us, and kind of notice and listen and go, "What is that?" And you're like, might even be in the midst of making love with someone and doing all that, and there's this little bit in you going, "What is that?" And you look inside yourself and, what is that? Or stop for a moment and say to your lover, "Hold on a minute, I just need to feel this." And just feel that part and scoop it up and say, "You're welcome, I'm listening. Do you want to tell me more? What is it that's going on for you? What is it that you're insecure about? What's going on here?" And the more you listen, the more it's like a memory might arise in your dreams or something, and you will just go, "God, I'd totally forgotten that thing that happened." And so a real invitation to listening. I'm not sure what started that bit of my conversation, but I was just trying to work out where I'm ending there. But hey, hopefully that little piece had something helpful. Okay. So we are coming up to time. It's amazing how... it sometimes feels really quick, but it also sometimes feels really long. Like there's the time sort of stretches and yeah. So I guess just from the flow of this evening, I just have a real invitation to each of you to listen to the somatic responses in your body, listen to the sensations in your body, because they're all information, whether it be pain, whether it be an emotional ripple that goes through your core, that goes through you. Don't worry, because initially your mind won't know the answer. It won't know the code. It won't know it won't know at first the answer. And bless our beautiful mind, which is the problem solver. It's the fixer. It wants to work out how to get something. It's the fixer. It wants to work out stuff. And it's so important. I love the mind. But just reassure the mind, it's not going to get it straight away because it's listening to the body. And the body talks in a different way. But if you keep listening, it will digest up through and it will then start to land in your psyche, in the more energetic psyche. And then that will filter through and your mind will bring it into a conscious understanding. And so a real invitation to listen to the triggers that you have, the physical feelings, the responses, the somatic emotional responses to things. So thank you everyone for being here. Thank you for these moments of time. I hope some of what I've said or all of what I've said is sparked some beauty in your own heart, and I will be doing this again in December. I can't remember the date. I'll send you the date, it's fine. And enjoy the rest of this beautiful evening and look after yourselves in this time of deep readjustment that we're all going through. So loads of love, and see you soon. Good night. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.